Matthews, Tavares together. Brooks scores. Austin Matthews from John Tavares, and it's 4-1.
I love you, Johnny.
Good job, brother.
I love you guys.
Yeah.
Woo!
That's a big one. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah, boys. The boys are buzzing. Welcome back to the Fan Morning Show. That was a little tidbit of Austin Matthews, who was mic'd up for some of the game last night. Well, most of the game, but pretty cool to hear a little bit of insight. That's a new TNT thing that they're doing.
It was really, so the things from the game that were not the actual hockey game, we already covered the chrome buckets. Those were horrific. Those Kings jerseys are so clean. I love them, but those chrome, it's just like you're doing too much.
Well, on the Kings jerseys, their warm-up jerseys, those purple throwbacks were yeah. Unreal. And then they go ahead and change to those boring
like
in comparison.
Those? Well, I love
in comparison,
those.
Comparison, much more boring.
I actually like those ones more than the purples.
Nah, the purple's fire.
But the TNT broadcast, I obviously didn't watch it, but I saw highlights from it. Mm-hmm. But they had Matthews with like a Bluetooth, or I don't know what the hell he was using to be able to hear them, because you couldn't even see it at all. It didn't even look like AirPods.
Maybe like an
something.
Could have been the same thing as the quarterback helmets.
Yeah.
Might just been like an RFID thing.
Whatever it was.
He could hear them. It was really cool.
He could hear them crisply, but he was doing warm-ups, like just skating and handling the puck and just having a chat.
It was awesome.
With Biz and Henrik Lundqvist. And I thought,
goals.
There you go, hockey. Like, there's a finally, because the whole thing with ESPN and TNT and them coming back and covering hockey and making
they had something different or some more access. And
I'm not watching it night in, night out, but it hasn't felt all that different from the outside.
No, but last night was the first time. I mean, obviously I wasn't watching that broadcast either, but to see some snippets of that and to hear what it's like to just like listen to one of the league's best players react to goals. Like when he talked to Spezza.
Oh, I had the best view possible
after Spezza
for that one.
Rips a clapper from the hash marks, he goes, oh, I had the best view. Like he was so like giddy that Spezza scored. It was just like, it was nice to see the vibes.
But we've had mic'd up.
Mm-hmm.
We've always had mic'd up. I just meant like the way the interview was conducted, where you don't have to skate off to the side and talk to the reporter. It just made it feel a little bit more natural. And I kind of felt like I was a part of it. And it was fun. It was cool. Now we get a chance to speak to someone who is, you know, revolutionized the way that hockey is covered.
That's right. And this insider is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Nick Kiprios, former NHL forward and co-host of Real Kipper and Born. Good morning.
Just want to start this segment off by saying, man, I love you guys. Yeah. I love you guys.
Oh, that's really sweet.
We love you too.
You. Thank
you. Deeply.
Hey, that's what we got out of last night's game. A lot of love.
Yeah.
Isn't that great when you can hear a guy say, I love you, man, and there's no Jägermeister shots involved?
They probably were after, though. Yeah, off day, you're in L.A., you're like,
Thanksgiving.
American Thanksgiving.
It has come a long way when Austin Matthews can be in warm-up and make restaurant recommendations. Where was that when I played? You couldn't even, if you had a buddy on the other team and your teammates knew that was your buddy, you couldn't even make eye contact with them in warm up without guys questioning, are you ready for the game?
Mm-hmm.
So it's come a long way.
Yeah. I wonder what it would be like to see that full season, just to get kind of like a feed. Like I think about the Monday Night Football feed, how they've changed that up and it's more accessible to hear players. Like if you could just tap in and listen to, I'm going to listen to what John Tavares is saying on the bench. I mean, that could be a bit dangerous as well, but I think it's a cool step for hockey to get a little bit more access into the lives of hockey players, who can be quite stoic, as you know.
Well, look at us. We're talking about it. It is different. It's unique. In many ways, it's, more access, which people almost want or demand now. The phones almost take you 24/7 around some of your favorite athletes or celebrities. So it just seems like there's a natural progression there.
Did you like the helmets on the Kings last night?
I think it's what the reference was, tinfoil. I'm okay with it. It's not the end of the world, as long as the guys are safe, I guess. Unfortunately, Kampf went down and maybe could have used a little extra tin foil on his head. We hope that it's not too serious. But certainly what they've been able to do in the last two or three weeks and take their game to another level. The Leafs are going, they're rolling. They got their offense going, even strength last night. So it'd be a shame if he's out for a prolonged period of time.
So how do you work to replace him in the short term? You know, let's assume he's going to miss a couple of games. Are you taking the approach of someone's just going to slot in there, or are you doing a larger scale juggle because that third line is not the Kasha camp line anymore and it's lost a bit of that identity anyway?
Yeah, this is where it kind of gets tricky, I think, for the team. And, you know, the depth, obviously, the salary cap has put a tremendous amount of stress on the team as is. They have not, you know, if you look over the last 3-4 years, minimal damage when it comes to injuries, and there hasn't been long stretches where you've lost 3 or 4 guys, and it's actually been very good for the Leafs. But, you know, Kampf out for a prolonged period of time would probably move Spezza up into that third line position, natural guy in that position. Outside of that, I think you just kind of mix and match. And, you know, Sheldon's been able to do that a little bit and free up, I think, the offense in the process. But they've got a number of guys that can play up for short stints, and maybe Spezza will be that guy.
See, I wonder if what you do is ask Kerfoot to drop down and play center again, move Engvall up, have him play that third line winger. So you got Engvall, Kerfoot, Kasha as still kind of your checking line. And maybe throw Nylander up with Matthews Marner and ask Tavares to be the bunting Richie or bunting Simmons or some kind of variation of those players where, hey, Tavares, somebody who throughout his career has always been able to kind of elevate guys, knowing that he's going to have more defensive responsibility now. And Sheldon Keefe has loaded up offensively in the past. Do you consider something like that, or you still want to see kind of the depth throughout the lineup? Because I still want to see a line where Kasha gets to try to drive it. And I was really, really impressed that last night there wasn't a drop-off really in play with that line when it was, you know, not to say just him, but his line exclusively, no Kampf.
Yeah, Kerfoot's been actually really good.
Yeah.
Should give him a ton of credit here. Bit of the Swiss Army knife here. You know, you're not really sure how to look at him and where to look at him, center, left wing, but wherever he's gone, he's kept the energy up. And a guy that never stops skating, part of that that feel of the Leafs being a little quicker is driven a lot from Kerfoot, either on a forecheck or breaking through the neutral zone. He's been really good, but I wouldn't put a lock on any of it. I think mm-hmm. we are in that age where you're going to mix and match a ton here. And your idea of Kerfoot coming back down there, absolutely. I think there's a few options there for Sheldon. But from here on in, nothing will ever be locked in, etched in stone here. So, you know, for the Leafs, they've managed to have a lineup, I think, that can have different looks, whether it's bunting up or bunting down, Richie up, Richie down, Kerfoot the same thing, Spezza, you know, comes up with another big goal last night. So, you know, they seem to be rolling right now, and I think Sheldon's got some options.
Yeah, and I'm not tracking the league as closely as you are night in, night out when it comes to the mixing and matching, but it does feel like Sheldon Keefe is doing it even more than other head coaches. Like last night, they end up suffering the injury. He obviously has to move somebody somewhere. They end up doing some double shifting of Nylander. They move Kerfoot down. But even he ends up flipping Nylander and Marner for a while, right? He loves to shake things up. He's taking Liljegren in and out of the lineup with Dermott. He's having those two basically play for a job. I assumed that after they traded for Clifford and they at least had him on the trip that they are going to throw him in at some point. Now I think he just kind of draws in naturally. But yeah, I don't expect him to ever put anything in stone. I expect him to kind of let this thing sort of continue organically, but it is a little different, right? The way that he is deploying it than the rest of the league. Like this is the coach to have these problems right now, or quote unquote problems.
Well, he's going through a stretch now, Sheldon, where it's whatever he does, it's not wrong. And it's a, it's a position of strength, and every coach would love to feel it, that you know, it's not a make or break decision here. And it's not like you're begging the guys to play well here or find a way to win. They've done that for a month now, that they've completely, you know, turned this thing around. And if Sheldon went to Vegas right now and split tens, he'd come up with two aces. There's nothing that he can do now that seems like it'll be a bad move. And it starts from the net out. It's specialty teams. And for the first time, it really came together, I think, for this team 5-on-5. I really like the way they moved the puck last night. And again, we can look through the league and we can find 20 teams that you just shake your head and you can't even believe that's the same LA King team that came into Toronto mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago and played them hard. I mean, that was a bad looking hockey club, but that shouldn't take away what the Leafs were able to do in terms of moving the puck. And I thought they shared the ice a lot better, you know, even Matthews, you know, different looks. I love the quick bump up to Bunting on a play where I think he hit the crossbar. But, you know, when these guys are starting to look and spread the ice a little wider, you know, they became a much more dangerous team, more guys involved last night in the offense. And it was a good look for the Toronto Maple Leafs last night.
So it's about the quarterway mark. Leafs are 14-6-1 after starting on a pretty bad foot. My question is, what's your biggest question about the Toronto Maple Leafs thus far, and what are you most maybe worried about down the stretch here?
Well, you wish you could play a Florida team right now, or, you know, one of the big boys, like Carolina. I'd like to see another run, you know, at Carolina, but I think Florida doesn't happen for a little while still. But you just go amongst your business and you collect these points. And again, shouldn't be much different of a look against Anaheim. And I know that the record looks good, but like I said, there's about 18, 20 teams that, you know, on any given night could just be horrible in this league. And you just have to go about your business and do what the Leafs did last night and just get your points. And you wait for those moments in the schedule where it's a real measuring stick.
So,
and there's 8 or 10 teams for me that can do that. And the Leafs can go and they can score their 105 points. And, you know, it kind of goes back to what everybody was saying, that it will really, truly start for the Leafs when they got to get out of their own division. And right now it's Tampa, it's Florida, it's the Leafs, and we're not sure about the Boston Bruins yet. But outside of that, that's the season right there. And, you know, I look at some nights, these teams that the Leafs play, and it's almost like a Division One and a Division Two in the National Hockey League. And last night I thought they played a Division Two team.
Man, I'm so glad you brought this up. Like, because this has been the one thing that's been underlying a lot of this Leafs run that I have not been talking about, because it sounds like you're just being negative or you're crushing the team during a stretch. But almost every Leafs game, it's a two things can be true thing for me, where I go, man, the Leafs look great tonight. But also I keep thinking, this other team sucks. This other team is terrible. This team, like, even Nashville, when they came in here, they go, ooh, Nashville, look at their record. Same record as Leafs. I'm like, oh, Preds are good this year, huh? Like, Duchesne's a story? Nothing. They stink. They didn't do anything. Like, who's the good team the Leafs have played? Who's the team that you go, wow, they're sort of impressive this year? Wow, this is a team that has a bit of jump. This team has a little bit of bite. Feels flat. And I don't know what to make of that, because we've got fans back in the building. The regular season is leveled out. Everybody's dealt with the salary cap stuff. In fact, most teams have more of an advantage than the Leafs did with the cap, because a lot of their contracts came afterwards, where they're a little bit more friendly, or they've had friendlier contracts than the Leafs. So I just look at the league right now and say, what is happening? Why does everybody suck except for, like, maybe the Hurricanes, the Panthers, even poor, I don't want to say poor Tampa, but Tampa loses Braden Point, right? Now he's going to be out for a while. They already have Kucherov out. They're going to be fighting it a little bit. I don't see the teams, or at least they haven't played the Leafs yet, that are supposed to be impressive. And during this winning streak, it's just them playing a lot of teams that I look at and go, the Leafs are good, but you also suck. And I wonder why you think this might be, or like, because it doesn't sound like you think that I'm over-exaggerating this point.
No, no, you're not. And again, that's not to take away anything out of the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are legitimately one of those 8 to 10 teams that you would say everything going well, health-wise, they're playing up to their capabilities, should be a contending team. But it's the salary cap. It's poor management. It's bad decisions by about 20 teams that have really left their roster opened for a critical assessment. And if your three or four top guys aren't at the top of their game, then you could look at last night and say Kopitar had an average game. I mean, how often do you see him right on top of a Kerfoot and still allow that backhand to go in? So if he's not going, and certainly Drew Doughty not there, what's left of the LA Kings? So you want a measuring stick, then we'll look no further than Colorado coming up in December 1st. I know you guys are giving away tickets.
I was just about to say, what a game to be giving away tickets for.
You guys are too, are you not?
6-game winning streak.
No, yeah, but our producer Sammy steals them. I don't think he really gives them away. I think he takes them for himself. So yeah, we're giving them away on Real Kipper and Bourne. So that to me is the hot ticket that you're going to want to, I don't know, decode something or find them.
Learn the contest, Kipper. We got tickets. I don't know how to give them away, though. You sound like the guy who's embezzling them.
I'm Bob Barker.
Throwing poor McKee under the bus, then being like real shady about how to get the tickets. All of a sudden, Kipper is like, not, hey, Kipper, don't you usually sit in the alumni box? Like, oh, you're just down in the regular seats? Where'd you get those, Kipper? Is someone giving them to you? Yeah, we'll see.
I'm not sure if McKinnon will be playing in that game, but they just seem to be one of those teams now that's just warming up, and Kadri's done an amazing job of filling in for McKinnon in terms of being a point producer and a go-to guy. So those, you can look down the schedule, JD, and find some marquee games where you go, that one interests me for the Leafs, and that's a good test. But we believe that will give us a better idea of down the road what they may or may not need. And you know, last night there's just no way that you could take anything out of that game other than the Leafs are feeling really good and really confident, which is great. But you know, style of play, hard hitting, a physical battle, like you get nothing out of that game last night for what the Leafs truly need to be ready for April and a Stanley Cup playoff run.
Less than a week away from the game that we're giving tickets away for, and maybe the Leafs' big test to see how much this little winning streak really matters. So Nick Kiprios, thanks so much for joining us this morning, and we'll talk to you next week, and don't steal those tickets.
All right. Love you guys.
Love you too. This Insider was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit donvalleynorthlexus.com.
Kipper's sort of the captain of the fan right now, right?
Yeah, big time.
McKinnon, by the way, is expected to travel on that trip. The trip begins in Toronto for Colorado. He skated on the 21st, was the first day he was back on the ice a little bit. So looks like it's going to be a little tight there. Like, he's traveling on the trip, but they weren't. They've been pretty, Jared Bednar was pretty non-committal on him playing, but good sign that he's getting close, at least for just entertainment value around the league and seeing what Colorado's made of.
I've said this before, so this isn't an original take, but I think that Nathan MacKinnon is one of the rare players in hockey that you pay to go see. Mm-hmm. Like, you pay to go see McDavid, right? Mm-hmm. But for the most part, the dirty little secret about the NHL is that everyone always acts like it's because they don't market the stars. And I go, yeah, okay, that's true.
Okay, but they also only play 20 minutes a game, right?
No, but not only do they only play 20 minutes a game, but it's one of those things where even the best players in the league, you know, don't pop every single shift. They don't look all that different every single shift. That's one of the cool things about actually having Marner on your team, is that Marner is just a different. He's like that little water bug who moves a different way and plays a different way. And
I love when you call him a water bug.
He does. He just moves different. Like, he just moves different. And that's the thing about McKinnon, is that when you watch him skate, you watch him play, it breaks up the monotony of a sport that can oftentimes look like a bunch of the same 6'2" to 6'4" guy that skates well and has a lot of the same skill set and is playing a system. So
McKinnon's just the way I like to describe him is he's a high event player, yeah. Right? Like not only he led the league in shots 2 years mm-hmm. in a row. So like actually in terms of like quantifying events, but mm-hmm. it's just like, he's a big, something is always happening.
Right.
Guy.
So I just think that if you're getting these tickets, even if it means less of an opportunity for the Leafs to win, he's one of those players you just want to watch play live. He's just one of those hockey players you want to go and see. And yeah, it's kind of like it makes me feel a little bit more like with my basketball fandom, where you want to go watch some team because of the player, right? Mm-hmm.
You want to see John Morant when you're on your road trip.
Big time. I'm going to pay to see John.
John Morant? I totally didn't hear that story.
I'm over this joke with you. It hurts my feelings when I try to share things about my life and you throw them in my face.
Speaking about this game upcoming, we're going to give you more information on how you can win the Maple Leaf tickets that we're giving away, and the you know, Nick Kiprios is also giving them away. So tune in a little later in the show. I'll give you one more rundown of how you can win these tickets. And you get to see Kadri maybe light it up in front of his old team. He's been
maybe his future
hot
team.
Yeah.
Lately. Let me tell you.
Another 2 points last night.
He is Kadri. Incredible.
He's on fire.
He'd look good in the Leaf sweater, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Another way to win. Stay tuned in after the break, and we're going to talk to Cabby.
Cabby.
We're going to talk about bets for today.
Cabs are here.
We're going to talk about betting in general. We got the situation, Ailish Forfar over here. Yeah, we're going to talk to Cabby, which is should be a lot of fun. We're going to run down today's NFL slate.
I'm tired. Well, over here. Like, you're like,
no, she did the Cabs are here from
Jersey Shore.
From Jersey Shore.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Oh, you ruined it.
I saw
the Cabs are here.
The Cabs
okay,
are here.
Well, okay, well, I don't know what that was. But
Cabby's actually coming into the studio, so yes. He will be here too.
Yeah, he's not actually here, but... he's going to be, and we got to figure out his mic situation. So we're going to take a break. We're going to run down the NFL slate with Cambridge's finest, Cabral Richards, after the break. It's the Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590, The Fan. Good morning. Fan Morning Show. Sports at 590, The Fan.
It's Baby Friday!
It is. Swaddle the day.
Oh.
It's Baby Friday.
Cute.
That is... Oh, the people listening on the podcast and trying to find those code words for the Leaf ticket giveaway can't hear it, but
the
that's
code
Annie
word
up.
Is swaddle.
That's Annie up.
No, it's not.
Imagine the
it's
word was swaddle.
In,
text in swaddle to 590.
This has me very you got served. I know this beat gets used for a lot of things, but I'm ready to go. I'm ready to dance fight now.
You know who's not ready to go? Cabby ain't here yet.
We've got three different accents of that one now.
So we...
he's getting his COVID test.
By the way,
we have a lot of fights privately over the thermostat.
It's freezing in here today.
This is offensive to me, whoever did this. Like, I'm furious right now.
Are you too
talked
cold?
You talked about being swaddled, and that was all I thought about. I was like, yeah, you know what? It's Baby Friday, and my day is ruined because I'm...
shivering.
I'm the end of The Shining, just frozen in ice, just staring forward blankly.
Look, I'm
embarrassed that we're going to bring Cabby into our home.
Into the ice
and
cave.
He's going to be like... Oh, you dirty little reptiles with your cold blood and your...
I'm putting my toque back on. It's literally freezing.
Look, this is probably on me. I run extremely hot. I'm a walking furnace, and I'm usually the first one here.
I know it's on you. I
set the thermostat when I come in. I'm the dad.
I
feel like energy-wise, I'm the dad of the show. I'm the wet blanket, and then also I'm in control of the thermostat.
We have three texts in the text line of the word swaddle now.
Swaddle.
People think that they're winning tickets. So sorry, guys. It's not actually the word.
Yeah.
You
I did
dummies.
Not say that, by the way. You got to listen to the podcast later, and Ailish will tell you.
I'm giving away the tickets with the special code word, which you'll have to listen to during the podcast. And it's not Bing Bonga.
I'm just going to start throwing that out as a bit on the show. The code word is, and see how many texts we get, even when there's no contests, until our bosses pull me into a room and chastise me privately. Because you know who complains? the people who try to win the prizes. You know where the complaints department.
They call them prize pigs?
Yeah. You don't say it on air, but oh. Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah.
You don't.
It's just the people trying to gobble up all the prizes.
Yeah, but you don't say, hey, we've got a big prize today. Try to win our prize, you pig.
Well, no. The people listening to the entire 4 hours of the show would not qualify. It's one of those things where if you're offended by that term, then yes, you are that person. If you're not offended by that term because you're like, oh, yeah, I'm not just hunting for prizes, then you're in the clear.
Speaking about betting, we got a nice text in the text line here. Yeah, I don't know. But we're waiting to talk about betting.
Yeah, we had Annie up on the way in, and we're going to Annie up with our bets for the
that
day.
That was a great transition where Ayla just decided to say, speaking about a thing you guys weren't talking about at all.
I was listening yesterday morning to you guys talk about sports betting. Made my first bet in many years last night. Won $245.
Wow. Nice.
Not from the green betting site, though. Oh. Thanks for the inspo, A-list, with a heart.
This guy just came in, or girl came in just firing, eh?
Oh.
I feel like most people, when they're first getting back in the game, are maybe going to bet like $5-$10.
Yeah, they won $245. Yeah. And then we got another text earlier. Thanks for the parlay of Leafs, Raptors, Oilers, Ailish. Made me some money. Yeah. Wonder if the king of betting, JD, tailed Mitch in Mississauga.
I got to tell you, this is just part of gambling content, which is, it is what it is. But the only thing that really sucks about sharing your bets is that you're already choked that you lose, right?
It's already cost you money.
Yeah, like I play my bets, so I'm already choked. And then there's always the guy who's like, way to go, king of betting. And I'm like, when my entire betting persona is that I'm a public, I'm a public bettor who likes parlays and favorites and overs. And then you got guys like that. That just shows to me how bad you are at betting. There's two things that are the most annoying. The one person who tells you about like the gambling rules where they're like, you can't cross the zero. And you're like, shut up. Honestly, then fine. You should be rich. You're such a genius sports bettor. Then why aren't you just living in a mansion in Vegas with all of your money from gambling? You sharp. The person who's always telling you about their wins but never actually like proves the wins. That's kind of a Blake thing, actually, now that I'm saying out loud, but that's okay.
I have it all tracked in my phone. You can see it anytime you want.
I know you have it all tracked. Yeah, yeah. Like I just say like not a lot of receipts, like, you know, with Blake. It's like every once in a while. He's like Blake wins every night, according to Blake.
No, I had a bad night last night.
I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing you, man.
It was a big upset night in the NBA.
Actually, last night you sent me a parlay though that I think won.
Yeah, I just
a receipt.
Oh no, that was 2 nights ago.
Okay.
I was the
big winner last night. We all know that.
Yes,
that was the Lakers winner. Pulling one out. Mm. It was the two early games on Tuesday night.
But here's the beauty of it all. If you hate someone's bets or you think they're the quote-unquote fraud king of gambling.
Nobody said
fade.
Fraud king.
That's the whole thing. You get to fade. There's a fade potential. You don't have to play the thing. No one's telling you got
to
do it.
So here's the thing that I want to explain to people, and I'm sorry for the people who are comfortable with this stuff and knowledgeable about this stuff, and this is old hat. But if you're fairly new to this, or you hear us talking about betting and you're like, oh, these guys only, you know, Blake only got 6 out of 10 on his NBA bets or whatever.
Oh, that's great.
So here's the thing is parlays are a little different. Parlays, you got to hit everything, right? So those are escalators. You're doing those more if you're really your high confidence index stuff, your heavy unit stuff. But if you were to just bet just against the spread every single game individually, and let's assume a -110 line for all of them because that's the most common one, 52.4% correct is the break-even point. So if someone is hitting at a 60% clip, if it's like one night, like, yeah, maybe that's just random. They had a good night. You look at an entire NFL season or an entire NBA or NHL season, if you can get up above, say, 55, if you can get into the high 50s, most people will regress from the low 60s to something lower over a big enough sample, but 52.4% is the number to keep in mind. When we're talking against the spread, that's the cutoff of are you making money or not. So the secret with this stuff, it's almost like the baseball thing where it's like, yeah, you're really good if you hit 300. It's like, yeah, if you get 4 out of 10 wrong betting, you're in pretty good shape.
So Cabby's going to be here in a couple minutes.
Believe it when I see it.
Yeah. Well, let's just get into the first game.
Yeah, we
because who cares?
We might as well.
Well, I was just going to say, I really don't want to bring him in and be like, hey, what do you think about Bears, Lions?
Yes.
So here's something about today in football. Here's a stat. Here's something Blake might like.
Stats.
Yeah, all six of these teams lost last week.
What?
Yeah.
But somehow it feels like 25 of 32 teams lose every week. I understand how this NFL season is going.
How does that work for the stats? But, yeah.
All six of these teams lost last week. So from a JD narrative standpoint, I had
they
a little
all
bit
win
of
win this week.
I had a little bit of a tough time. It's a backs against the wall game for a lot of teams. Lions fans. Okay, let's start with this. So narratives, right? Because I love my narratives with gambling. Jared Goff is in, which actually weirdly makes me feel worse about the Lions, because the one thing that Chicago still does well is rush the passer. I would assume that it's going to be low scoring enough, though, that the Lions will continuously be able to run the ball. But I don't think that having Andy Dalton in here is that bad. I don't think it's that good. If you look at the way that they scored against a pretty crappy Ravens team, and I mean that sincerely, I'm sorry, Ravens fans, but your biggest thing this year is that you can't tackle. And the only touchdowns Andy Dalton got were like the fluke broken coverage plays where you threw one on fourth down that ends up being a touchdown, right? So I just think both these teams are bad. But I think this is a stay away because both teams are so horrific that trying to project who's going to win or who's going to do anything is really, really a tough ask. But if I'm a Lions fan, I got to go and say, one, Thanksgiving, we always kind of show up and play a little bit tougher because it's our game. This is Lions fans Super Bowl, right? They're never going to win. They're never going to go anywhere. They're never going to do anything, but they have Thanksgiving. That's their day. This is the day that Lions fans get. And if you're going to go and get a win this year, I would suggest that you try and get the win against a bad team who has Andy Dalton and a coach where there's tons of rumors swirling around about a firing and potentially some guys not all buying in on the firing coach. This just feels like if you are going to play a side, or if I'm going to play a side anyways, I'm going to play the Lions as outright dogs, baby. Lions Super Bowl. Let's go.
Wow.
So I showed value on the Lions money line when it opened around 150.
What do you mean when you say you showed value?
Well, I run some numbers and see what the like projected outcome is. And it's a very crude model. It's not super sophisticated, but I just use it as kind of like, I try to use it as like an idiot proof of like, I'm not making sure I'm not missing something or, you know, making sure I'm at least acknowledging what the numbers look like. They're down to plus 125 now. So there's probably a little bit gone there, but I still think especially
it's down to plus 125.
Yeah. So, that's but here's sexy. The thing. Do you like it though? If you like Cowboys and Bills as favorites later, do you like it as a parlay escalator?
No, I'm not touching that as a parlay.
Okay.
Period. That's staying out of it. That's like me with the Raptors last night and what I should have done with the Lakers last night. I shouldn't have thrown the Lakers in a parlay. I should have just played them separately. I'm upset that I didn't, but it is what it is. I played the Raptors separately because they're around that plus 140 number, which is usually the one where I like and say, hey, this is going to be a solo bet, because a lot of times I'm trying to get a two-leg parlay or a three-leg parlay into that zone. I actually like, if I hate saying this, I kind of like the Raiders to cover today, and yet I sort of like still the Cowboys to win. And I just, if the Bills lose this game, boy oh boy, yeah. I don't know what to say. So I think if it's still the same-ish, that Bills Cowboys parlay brings you to like minus 120, and I think I'm going to play that today. Cabby's here; he's breathing.
Oh, oh no! That's Cabby's music.
What do we got?
Cabs are here.
No, you don't. You don't get that.
Your headphones are out of order.
Cabby has entered the room. Everybody,
music. The money.
11 minutes late.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Turn his mic on.
All right.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, man?
I'm wonderful. How are you guys? What were you saying about the Bills parlay? You're not going to do it?
No, I am.
You are going to do it.
So here's the cases that I've been outlining this morning. One is that if you're the Lions fan, this is your Super Bowl, because you're never going to get to a Super Bowl. You just have Thanksgiving, right? This is it.
Yeah.
This is it. This is your premier game, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
And you're Jared Goff. You get to get into this ball game. People get to watch you. This is your one chance
to be. Is Jared start or is it Tim Boyle?
I think it's Jared. Boyle. That was the latest report I saw.
Okay.
So you're Jared Goff. This is kind of your one chance to kind of grab the, hey, I'm not the biggest loser on planet Earth.
They're 0-8-1, bro.
Right.
He's already holding, like, where Shane McMahon's already carrying that belt proudly.
But this is it. If you're going to get a win, are you not going to get it against a team that has a coach that's maybe about to get fired.
Yeah, Matt Nagy doesn't survive.
He had to answer something at a media conference this week where they asked him, hey, is there any truth to the report that they've already told you this is your last game? He's like,
no, I'm staying.
I mean, the guy lives in Chicago. They were chanting fire Nagy or fire Matt Nagy at the Bulls game.
The full name is more offensive.
Yeah, that's right.
Just so nobody confuses which Nagy you were talking about.
That's right. And he had to have, I'm sure people either tagged him or his phone must have been blowing up to, like, getting that clip sent to him.
So that's, I'm just here where it's, you're facing Andy Dalton on a short week and a coach that might get fired on your quote unquote Super Bowl on Thanksgiving. Like, if you're a Lions fan, if you don't get this one, I'm sorry. It's going to take a miracle for you.
So you're taking the points. Is it? It's three, two and a half, or
it's
three?
Three. Three.
I think
right
I'm just taking them outright.
And it's 125 money line.
Okay.
I think I'm just taking them outright. But mostly, we're saying that if you're betting this game, you're just showing your true colors, which I am, which is that you're a true degenerate and that you just can't help yourself.
Yes. What else are you going to do at 12:30?
That's
honestly,
what I mean.
These are the only games on today. Like these three games.
We got no NBA, no NHL.
Might as well just sprinkle a little something.
It's a
terrible slate. Too. All three games are garbage.
Yeah.
And this is the worst. This is the biggest of the doo-doo pile. Like the smelliest of the doo-doo pile.
Yeah. It's quite a thing when it is like a pile of the doo-doo. And that it's like, you are the creme of the doo-doo pile. you are the doo-dooiest of the doo-doo.
Will you be surprised if the game was like 6-3?
No.
I'm going unders on everything today.
41
like,
and
no
a half.
Doubt nice. About it.
41 and a half for Bears Lions total.
I lean unders too.
Yeah. This just seems like a boring day.
I'm just afraid of the interceptions. It's Dalton and it's Goff.
Well, here's the thing though. You either go bet builder or player props on the interception. I've had a good
both QBs.
I've had a fun season for like at 12:55 every Sunday, just being like, which bad quarterbacks are starting today? Let's bet the over 0.5 interceptions. And I told you I had the bad beat. So, Cabby, I'm a Jaguars fan. And last week I
but
had
like when they were good, like when they had everybody in 17. And
they haven't been good. I was a child. No.
There was one year, actually, a couple years. Yeah, 96.
They won 14 games in, I think, 99. The Mark Brunell, Fred Taylor, Jimmy Smith.
They went to like the AFC Championship.
Yeah.
Game.
Yeah. But that was like
they are also good. They should have went to the Super Bowl the year that the Patriots beat the Rams like 13-3. Yes. It was like 45-42 or something. They
should
have
hang a banner.
Ramsey, Leonard Fournette, like that team was stacked. Is that when you became a Jaguars fan?
No, I've been a Jaguars fan since like high school.
Oh, wow.
Like when I first started
because
watching
of the jersey or because
the,
of Madden?
The jersey and Madden.
Okay.
So you had the Mark Brunell, Fred Taylor, Jimmy Smith combination. And all you need in Madden, especially the like older, less sophisticated Madden games, you just need quarterback, running back, one receiver to throw to.
Right.
Just hit the triangle receiver every single time.
Oof. And Brunell, it was cool throwing with a lefty too.
Yeah.
In Madden.
Yeah, except for most of us just played with Michael Vick.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Well, then,
well, then you don't throw, the then you don't throw
original, it. I just mean cheek
for you to choose the lefty as you're like, I want a lefty QB in Madden. And I'm going to go with Mark Brunell, not Michael Vick.
I don't know about you guys, not to get too far off the betting, but like in like with my friends, there was a no Vic rule because everyone like first choice of team would always be taking the Michael
Atlanta.
Vic team.
Yeah.
So, I just played real sports. So
wait, in fantasy, this used to exist in like the 80s. It was like you when you picked Gretzky, it was either just Gretzky goals or Gretzky assists. You couldn't have Gretzky as one person because his production was so off the charts insane.
This is where, and you know, I know with your stuff, it's not just betting. There's some daily fantasy element and stuff like that and the player props. And this is where auction leagues have kind of neutralized that, right? Like a snake draft, the number one pick can be have an outsized impact. But when you do auction style and everyone's got a price tag attached to them and everyone can bid on a guy, then you're a little better off. And that's kind of the basis for the DFS stuff too.
Yeah, for sure.
I've said this publicly many times, but if you play snake drafts, at this point, you've done more than one fantasy football league. I can't respect you as a fantasy player. Like, I just can't do it. It's just like it's auctions are available.
You don't respect anyone.
Hold on, but wait. But what if the pool is like there's a buy-in, 50, 100.
Doesn't matter.
A friend of mine in Vegas, she was in this is like a life goal for me. Like she's in this ESPN pool where the buy-in is 5 G's.
And oh my God.
Yeah, it's heavy. And like, I think I don't want to. There's some ESPN talent that are in this one, and she's in this one too.
Yeah.
And I think it's a I don't know if it's an auction. It might be a snake draft.
That's abhorrent. I'm also
abhorrent.
That's really
good word.
Tell him why you mad, son.
Well, the second part of this that I think of is this is industry talk, but I think imagine trying to get people in Canadian media to play $5,000.
No,
to
yeah.
Like the highest stakes fantasy league I have is a $250 buy-in.
No, I was just going to say
that's
that.
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah, nice. It's fine.
The Sportsnet, if it was a 5G buy-in, the Sportsnet talent one would just be Tim and Cabby.
I don't know if they're listening, but I have two friends, Brian and Sean, who are in my like longtime keeper league with my Cambridge guys.
Nice.
Which Cabby, you could obviously appreciate.
We went to high school in Cambridge.
Yeah, no GCI guys in the league.
They know all about Cambridge.
Oh, I teased it earlier. No GCI guys in the league, I don't think. But they every year it's like hey, do we want to tweak any rules to this league or whatever? And there's an email chain, and these two guys every year are like up the buy-in, and it always gets voted down by like 7-5.
Oh, wow,
so
okay.
These guys are listening right now and hearing you say like a $5,000 buy-in league, and I'm going to have an email at the end of this segment.
Just up the
buy-in, yeah.
So, okay, Ailish, you're doing all unders today. Any player props? Are you sprinkling on the player props at all?
I'm going to do all unders, and I'm going to do 3 money line winners. That's it. I don't like the
single or parlay?
All of that in one big parlay. I'm going all in tonight.
I want
to pay my rent.
Okay. So, by the way, the totals in the other games, Raiders, Cowboys, 51.5. Bills, Saints is 45. Bills are 6.5-point favorites right now. Cowboys, 7.5. Mm-hmm. And Bears, 3.
I so like you're going, the Bills under.
The Bills under for sure.
Too high. 51?
No, 45 is Bills. 51.5 is Cowboys.
But we just talked about how defensive it could be.
Cowboys' defense is really, really solid.
51.5
is a high total.
All unders, and then what are your money line plays?
All favorites.
Oh, that's wow. So chalky. But the unders, you're going to be sweating.
Yeah, but no, that's okay.
I feel like it's that kind of day, though, because like nobody's...
I want to be sweating watching these games. I want to be invested.
That
was plus 19-something.
Okay, so you're really trying to pay the rent today.
I'm really trying to pay the rent.
All right, so like $100 will get you like a 2G payout. I respect that.
It's about plus 2,000.
Yeah. I respect
that. So you want to be one of those people.
I want to be rolling in the cash tomorrow, or I don't want to speak about it.
So you want to get screenshot by a betting account and then go.
Yeah.
Somebody did this.
If you hit, we're going to post you on SN Bets.
That's what I like to hear. And if I don't, this segment never happens. Okay. But then I'll sprinkle in fun ones throughout the day. But like, I want to go in with one big one and then have a couple little guys just to keep me interested.
Okay, dope.
Yeah, I don't know what those are yet, so teach. Someone give me some tips.
So let's start. Yeah. Let's just stick with the Bills here, though, because I think that this is the one most people are going to play because it's the GTA. There's more Bills fans than anything else.
And it's a late game. People will be off work.
Yeah. So the total's 45. The spread is what? Bills 6.5. I think I saw it last
time.
Yes. I got to tell you, this is it's Trevor Siemian. It's no Alvin Kamara. It's a Saints team that's reeling. A Saints team that cost me a lot of money last week because I had the tease with the plus 8. I thought that was a lock with the Eagles. Wrong. Are we there where we feel confident betting a Bills team that steamrolled bad teams all year? Do we consider the Saints a bad team, even though they have a good coach and what's supposed to be a good defense? You couldn't have told me last week when they gave up like 100
Saints
points.
Saints do have a solid defense. And then the Bills got mollywopped by Jonathan Taylor. And they put two high safeties, and which is taking away, the vertical threats that Josh Allen, who's got a big arm, can get his receivers downfield. But they have Emmanuel Sanders and Cole Beasley are kind of like similar functioning guys. A lot of drag routes under the coverage. So I lean unders like Ailish does. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody's really that spectacular. And I think I'm going to lean with all the dogs. I'm going to go opposite. Then
all right, one of us might be happy.
You know what? Maybe I'll stick that in a parlay. Ailish, mm-hmm. goes, and usually as a squad, we like to ride together. So I'm bringing vibes to the morning show.
We always mix it up.
I might.
But we could middle this because I think Ailish likes all the favorites on the money line.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't because I sneaky like the Lions on the money line. But I like the Cowboys to win this. I like the Bills to win this. But I also like the dogs on the spread. Like, I think it's a little bit too much points for a Cowboys team that their offensive line was horrific last week. So the one good thing that the Raiders do is rush the passer. And two is that it's like, again, narrative games. I love me some narrative. Derek Carr, everybody's been crapping on him all week. They're going, hey, Derek Carr, remember when you said you were going to retire if you weren't a Raider? Get those papers ready. Because it's not looking good for you. this kind of has to be a national game against the Cowboys, Derek Carr. If he brings it today, this kind of tilts it for the next 3 days where we're talking about how, hey, maybe he's underrated again. Big spot for him.
Just a little note on the Bills game. Ian Rappaport of NFL Network says it's unlikely Mark Ingram will play.
Yeah.
So really? that's no Kamara. He said it'll be, quote, an uphill climb for Ingram to play, which would mean Tony Jones, who has 22 rushing attempts on the season, is the top running back for the Saints today.
I think I need a Taysom Hill player. Taysom Hill anytime touchdown then.
Yeah. See, I want that. I want to buy that Tony Jones touchdown right now.
Well, Jones is not on.
I don't know. I've never heard of Tony Jones before. It sounds like a creative player, but here's what I'll tell you.
Maybe he's related to Ronald Jones.
Tony Jones is Tony Jones to score at any point a touchdown is only 140.
So I know. The garbage. Book's ahead of it.
I mean, it's still plus money. So it's not bad.
Yeah, Taysom Hill though +400.
Oh, see, I love that.
That's a little better value right?
I love that.
If I'm betting, I want to win money.
Didn't
he just get a contract a few days ago, like 80 or 90 mil with like 22 million guaranteed?
But I want to be Taysom Hill. He's actually my hero in all sports because it's like he doesn't do anything and he gets paid the most money.
Right?
He's living the dream.
Yes, he is.
This is it.
This guy was like a punt returner, kick returner, and then like, runs a janky wild card offense and then gets touchdowns in the red zone. I mean, you're right. He is living the dream.
So if we are all riding together and it is good vibes only, which is, again, like the Sportsnet Bets account, are we promoting that yet?
Let's go. It's active.
I'm not promoting it until I get the follow.
Yeah, I didn't get a follow.
JD's the only one that got the follow. So.
But JD is the resident degen.
That's
so
correct.
As a crew, we're like, only, we got to identify our degens.
Only because people don't know me yet. Okay. So I'm new here.
It's at SN Bets. And again, so it's like literally it's squad good vibes only are in the bio. Oh, so I feel like we have to come to a consensus play here.
No, don't worry about it.
Well,
I don't want to be
you, obviously. Yeah. We're not all riding out.
I think we all feel okay about the unders.
Let me have my thing.
Okay about the unders.
Okay, then that's good.
I'm in on Bills -6.5. But
Cavi and I weren't there. Like we said, we like the dogs. So we need to find one consensus. So let's rapid fire through this. Let's play the first thing that comes to mind, right? Like, yes, no, yeah, so Bears, Lions, over, under?
Under.
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 Okay.
So that's good. Right away, we did it. That was a fast game.
But we said unders for everything, which is even more fun.
Also, I was in the final spot, so I really couldn't be the one.
Yeah, imagine you're actually over.
Are you going unders? Like, are you playing totals today or props and just a couple of money
lines? I'll probably do two different things today. Actually, one, two. That's a lie. That's the biggest lie ever. Here's what's definitely happening today. Lions money line play for me. Got to do it. Just for the fun and just like...
let's go.
Let me root for the Lions in their Super Bowl. Let me get behind them. Let me be there with the two dudes who wear the Lions, like Detroit Dan or whatever. Let me be with those guys.
All right.
I'm going to play the under, but I'm probably going to tease it and I'm probably going to tease all three unders and parlay them together because I don't like the points in any of these games. I said it. I don't really love what I saw from the Cowboys' offense. They don't have Lamb. I don't think they have Cooper. That's a lot. Ezekiel
Elliott. Gallup.
And
Tony Pollard, who is solid. Ezekiel Elliott.
It's a lot of points from some guys that I don't – like, we'll find out. What is it? What's Wilson's first name? Jeff?
Russell?
No.
By the way,
Cedric. I thought it was Cedric. But I was like, it can't be CeeDee Lamb and then Cedric Wilson, but it is.
Wow.
If you tease all three unders, 4 point, it's +175.
See, I kind of like something like that.
So then you're looking at 45.5, 54.5, 49.
Mm-hmm. See, I like that 45.5 in the earlier game. 41 is just so low. That's just one of those, you get three touchdowns in the first half and you just sit there and you're like, wow.
And then a pick six when these bad teams are sloppily trying to come back.
And it blows up your ticket.
Hey, so I think we're going to play that Bears, that the first game under is the team play. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah, squad ride in that first game. Let's go with the under.
Hey, before we go, and we're already a little late here, so we'll just move a block. But I do have to kind of pick your brain about this because you are someone who has always been like very content forward, right? Like, I know that if you're like in my age, not maybe I don't know so much you. I don't know if she had cable ever, but it was like you were doing.
Well, she's like 26, so no.
We had cable.
We just, like
I'm at your parents' house. You did. But, like you're not.
I pay for cable now because of the
because
of where you were employed. Yeah. Yeah. We all pay for cable.
Cable is baby. Great. We just want to say so
everybody
great.
The best.
Rogers.
But so you've always been content forward, and I remember you spoke at my class at Centennial when I was there a few years back, and it was like when you were making your pivot to the place that you know you don't acknowledge, obviously.
The three letter.
The dirty one that's far away. And you were kind of going over some of the ideas that you had in that class. And I remember being like, man, a lot of these are really good. Like, I hope he makes a lot of these shows. Like, and now you're here and you were already just like in Vegas. You did the gambling stuff. Like, you were already ahead of the way that the gambling curve was going from a content standpoint. How big do you think this is going to be? Because it feels like we're on the precipice of something where it's like we're involving this now in just about everything.
It feels like when cannabis was legalized.
Yeah.
I know people have drawn that comparison, and like when it was federalized and then the provinces, you know, Alberta was like, we're the Wild West, we're just going to do whatever. And then Ontario was like, we're super conservative. Here are 25 stores. So I don't know if the rollout actually might be similar. I think Ontario will be the first province which will have single game betting, and then maybe Alberta's next, and then BC, and then I'm not sure what happens in Quebec, the four most populated provinces. But it's gonna be kind of a slower rollout than we anticipated. I know the legislation was passed, Bill C-218 in August, but there's still, what I've been hearing is like the regulatory board, like this commission is still being formed, and then that commission is the one that outlines the regulations and the protocols for the other operators to come into the market. So, you know, in the U.S., there's like, I don't know, 20, you know, there's like a handful here in Canada. So I think Ontario is gonna be first. But the excitement is similar to the way that the cannabis market was, because a lot of people were like, okay, we could just get it down the street. You know,
already doing it. Now I can do it legally.
I'm already tapping in with a couple of homies who were like, I have the good stuff, but now I can go. But so hopefully it won't be as arduous as that particular rollout, but I think it starts in Ontario first.
I can't wait, though, for the people who are, like, the ones who still have drug dealers, and they're, like, the ones who still have bookies, and they're like, I got a shady bookie.
I don't know.
Bookie.
Do people have actual bookies anymore?
Like, I know a guy who has one. It's the coolest thing ever, and I don't place
like
enough
money. Like a legit human bookie?
Yep. A legit human bookie.
That's like movie stuff.
You know what that bookie's doing, though? He's just making the bet online.
Just on some offshore books where you can try to get a better
charging
price.
Charging them a 5% vig to place his online bets.
And probably ask him, like, what's the play? And then the bookie's like,
just
I don't
to
know,
say
I'm the bank.
You have
I'm the house. I'm the one you're competing against, basically.
Honestly, just to say you have one, it's worth it.
I guess it's kind of
It's cool, worth the threat of getting your legs broken.
No. Maybe for you, because you can run fast. So no one's going to catch you.
Thank you, honestly. That's such a nice thing for you to say, that I could run fast.
You're welcome.
It's such a good thing to be fast. Didn't we do this on the show? But when you were younger, like the coolest thing you could be, the coolest kid in your school was like, everyone still remembers like the kid who was the fastest kid in your class when you were like 8 years
big
old.
Time.
Yes.
It's like, that was a real thing. That was like,
that was a superpower when you're eight.
Exactly. You're 8 years old. It's like, oh, you know, Jesse, I remember the kid's name. Jesse Larson was the fastest kid in class. Still remember it. Like, wow. Everybody knew.
Shout out to Granville Riley.
Yeah.
Who lives in Cambridge. See? He was the fastest. This dude had it.
Everybody remembers.
Like an 8-pack. Everybody. At like 13.
Yeah,
I was the fastest.
You were the fastest kid?
Yeah.
Ailish wins everything. She's super competitive. Everything except bets.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see today.
Yeah. We'll see. This is the latest we've ever gone.
Okay.
Oops. So we're going to break, but thanks for doing this, man.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to have to go a little bit deeper next time into some of the content stuff. That's definitely coming.
Yeah, just try to get here on time.
Cabby, thanks. Thanks for coming in, man.
My pleasure.